Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today marks the beginning of Holy Week. Most Christians throughout all the world are united in the celebration of these 7 days. It marks the well-known Passion of the Christ. Some churches will read all of the events for the entire week on this one day. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, his cleansing of the temple, his teaching throughout the temple courtyards, his celebration of the Passover with his beloved disciples, the institution of the Lord's Supper, Judas's betrayal, and Peter's denials, Jesus' trial, his flogging, his crucifixion, his death, and his burial. But all of these fine details are included then in the work week of the King of Kings. Well, what does the typical work week of a king look like? In modern times, kings and queens are mainly figureheads. They are seen as beacons of pride and encouragement for their people. They hold meetings and discuss the affairs of their countries and their kingdoms. They travel throughout the different parts of their territories, showing support for their people in good times and in the bad. In more ancient history, the life of royalty would often include advising in the times of war and conflict. Kings may even lead their armies out into battle. Most of them would call the shots from the rear, giving counsel and direction from safety. Some kings and queens may have had to sit even in judgment over the affairs of the people, handling the direct actions of their citizens. Now, Jesus was never allotted the official title of King of Israel. The Roman Empire was in control of the entire land, and any so-called king in any territory served at the behest of Rome. Herod the Great, for example, was the king over Israel when Jesus was born. He was not an independent ruler. He still had to answer to the Caesar. And Jesus, while not the official king, did as many kings did. He traveled as he pleased. He visited many towns and villages throughout Galilee and even down into Judea. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He fed thousands. He calmed storms. He even raised the dead. The typical work week for Jesus was actually quite exhausting, especially when compared to your typical king. But all of this was nothing in comparison with Holy Week. It had all been leading up to that moment. Many times throughout his ministry, the Lord Jesus said, "No, my hour has not yet come." But now it had. Earlier in Luke's gospel, the evangelist wrote that Jesus had set his face toward Jerusalem. And this fulfilled the prophecy from Isaiah, our Old Testament text, "For today I have set my face like a flint." Jesus setting his face toward the holy city of Jerusalem like a flint showed his purpose and his determination. His whole reason for coming here into this world, for entering into creation, was finally at hand. It was time to begin the work week of our redemption. Another work week began for God on a Sunday as well. It was on such a day that the Lord God first spoke into existence the universe. Light was created and was separated away from the darkness. And God then continued to create each of the next 5 days, completing his work of creation. And on the seventh day, God rested from that great work. Fully set in place was the workmanship, the craftsmanship of the great and glorious God. All of creation, in its perfection, its beauty, was set to give thanks and praise and worship to the great God alone. The pinnacle of God's creation was you. Was mankind fashioned in the Imago Dei, the very image of God, done so on the sixth day of creation. He was the apple of God's eye, his pride and his joy. And no one knows exactly how long the world existed in its perfection, but soon enough, Adam and Eve, the first of God's creation of mankind, plunged all of God's workmanship into imperfection, into sin. And this rebellion against God ruined the wonderful creation of the perfect and holy God. Because of sin, God's curses were handed down into this realm. We now have illness and injury, fires and floods, tornadoes and pandemics and heartaches because of sin. Even more, death came as the wage for sin. A spiritual death happened the instant Adam and Eve ate of that forbidden fruit, but physical death would one day occur as well. And so because of sin, from that moment when our life first began, we have been on the path to death. But this is not the way God intended it to be, not how it's supposed to be. The good and glorious God does not create all things and man in his image so that it could then end in catastrophe, in suffering, in death. Yet sin must have its consequence. Balance must be restored. And so God, in his great love for all of his creation, enacted his plan for mankind's salvation and all of creation along with it. But it would not come freely. A great price must be paid for our sin, for our salvation. Since every aspect and moment of our lives is now infected by our sin, the cure must be greater. In order for sin to be forever eradicated, forever in our past, the solution had to be forever, had to be infinite. No mere mortal, no human being could do so. Could pay the price for so much sin. Only God could. But God, who is life, who is immortal, who is infinite, cannot die. So God must take on the flesh, the nature of man, become man himself. This was the task taken on by God the Son. He was born here into this world of royal human blood, descendant of King David himself, but more so, he was born here into this world of royal divine blood. Fully God and fully man, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's own chosen one, his dear Son, the King of all kings, joined here with this creation. And as God performed his great work of creation in 1 week's time, at the beginning of all time, so God's dear Son would perform the work of man's re-creation in 1 week's time, at the appointed time, in the fullness of time. But notice the stark contrast between Jesus' work as the King of Kings and the typical work of other kings. Oh yes, the crowds joyfully welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday with palm branches and cloaks spread out on the ground. They even cried out, "Hail the King of Israel!" That quickly faded. The crowd quickly turned. The religious leaders against Jesus performed their task all too well. They filled the streets of Jerusalem with their shallow accusations against Jesus. And paired with Jesus' cleansing of the temple and his provocative teachings against the Jews themselves, the pump was primed for the rejection of Jesus. By Thursday of that same week, the Lord Jesus was betrayed to the hands of sinners. On Good Friday, the sixth day of Holy Week, following Palm Sunday, the Lord Jesus was sentenced to death and was crucified. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And as sin for us, Jesus suffered the just wage for all of our sin, death. It was not a quick and merciful death. It was the slow, painful, torturous death that all of our sin forever deserved. Jesus suffered even the forsakenness of God the Father, which our sinfulness has justly earned. But in that suffering and in that death on the sixth day of the week, the Lord Jesus was right there busy doing the very work of our redemption, our re-creation. And with that work of our new creation then complete, all of our sin atoned for in the blood of Christ, he gave in to sin's full wage. He gave up his spirit, and he died upon the cross. Laid then in the tomb still on that Friday, the Lord Jesus rested from his great creation work on the seventh day, the Sabbath. And as a result of this wonderful work, the wonderful work week of this King of Kings, all the world is saved. All of creation stands now covered by the very blood of Jesus, every sin paid for, and more. With all sin in his holy body, Jesus died so that sin would die with him. And on the third day, death failed. Death failed in holding on to life. But that only makes perfect sense. Death cannot win over life. Nothing can win over God. And as his people, those washed in the very blood of Jesus through the waters of baptism, that win, that victory is yours. Truly. Even now, behold, your King is coming to you. Hosanna, Lord, save us now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Who is this King of glory? The King who has worked your salvation? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.